600 college students were asked to write down the most beautiful word in the English language. 422 of them wrote the word mother. And this morning I am mindful of the many important mothers that are found in the scriptures. Of course, Moses' mother, Jochebed, saved her son from the threat of Pharaoh when he ordered every Hebrew baby boy to be put to death. And Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months and then made a little ark of bulrushes so that Moses might secretly float down by the river bank among the reeds. I think of Samuel's mother, Hannah. In bitterness of soul, she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish because she wanted to mother a child. And she promised to give her child back to the Lord for His service if He would but open her womb. God answered Hannah's prayer and Samuel was born. She kept her promise and Samuel served the Lord all the days of his life. I think of Jesus' mother, Mary. She was blessed among women, for she was chosen to physically bear the incarnate Son of God. And then she was trusted to emotionally carry the reality that she was mother to the Messiah. The Bible says that she pondered those things in her heart. Timothy's mother, Eunice, faithfully taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures as a child and then modeled for her son an unfeigned faith, a genuine faith. And each of those biographies are powerful examples of motherhood and warrant our study. But this morning I invite you to join me in Proverbs 31. And whether you are a mother or not, whether you are a woman or not, there are great insights for each of us in Proverbs 31. I invite you to look with me at Proverbs 31, verse number 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Stop there. Who in the world is King Lemuel? There is no record, either sacred or secular, of anyone ever named King Lemuel. Consequently, because there is no identifiable King Lemuel among the kings of recorded history, most scholars believe this to be a pen name for King Solomon. If in fact this is indeed King Solomon, then we know his mother to be Bathsheba. And so what we have before us here in Proverbs 31 is the utterance of Solomon's mother Bathsheba. Proverbs 31 is what Mother Bathsheba taught King Solomon. But why would Solomon use a pen name for this final chapter of Proverbs? Did he want to conceal his identity? And if so, why? We'll answer that question in a few moments. We do know with certainty that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Song of Solomon. Proverbs was Solomon's collection of wisdom. Song of Solomon was Solomon's celebration of marriage and marital love. Ecclesiastes reveals that Solomon struggled to apply what he wrote in Proverbs, and that he never fully enjoyed what he wrote about in Song of Solomon. In fact, if you'll turn quickly to Ecclesiastes 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it's just a few pages to the right. Let me show you what Solomon wrote about both wisdom and women in Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 25. I applied my heart to know. I applied my heart to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. That is a summation of what he collected in the book of Proverbs. And I find more bitter in all of my searching and in all of my seeking. I find more bitter, verse 26, than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. You see, Solomon's inquiry into wisdom taught him about women. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Solomon had 1,000 women in his harem. In fact, one commentator suggested that if Solomon married his first wife when he was 20 years old, and his last wife when he was 70 years old, over the course of those 50 years, Solomon would have had to marry another wife every 2 to 3 weeks. Wait. Are those wedding bells I hear? Oh, Solomon must be getting married again. Of course, the same commentator also suggested that maybe he married them in bunches. Group weddings, if you can imagine. Look at verse 27, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 27. Here is what I have found, says the preacher, in all of his searching and in all of his seeking. Here is what Solomon discovered, adding one thing to another to find out the reason. Verse 28, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among 1,000 I have found, namely himself, but a woman among all these I have not found. In the Song of Solomon, King Solomon wrote of the wonderful relationship between a man and a woman, yet in Ecclesiastes he looked over all of his wives and saw women that he had claimed for himself, yet they were not women with whom he shared the beauty of exclusive marital love. Turn back to Proverbs 31. The utterance of Solomon's mother, the teaching of Solomon's mother, addressed the very issue that plagued Solomon so much. Mother Bathsheba taught Solomon about women. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 2. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys king. The first point of counsel from this mom Bathsheba to her son Solomon was this. Number one, don't surrender your strength to women. Roman numeral number one in my outline, don't surrender your strength to women. Bathsheba knew of a king's harem, for she was part of King David's harem. But that was not the place where true marital love was found. Rather, women were the source of weakness and destruction for kings, both King David and King Solomon and probably King Henry VIII as well. Don't surrender your strength to women. But there was a second point of counsel from this mom, Bathsheba, to her son Solomon in verses 4 and 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, lest they drink and they pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Bathsheba warned her son, number two, don't submit your control to alcohol. Don't submit your control to alcohol. When John Wesley was a student at Oxford University, he was shocked with the amount of drinking done by his fellow students. And so he wrote to his mother, Susanna Wesley, for her counsel. She wrote back with the following words, "My dear son, remember that anything which increases the authority of the body over the mind is an evil thing." It's good counsel from a mother to her son. The third point of advice or counsel from Mother Bathsheba to her son Solomon is then found in verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the speechless, and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Mother Bathsheba told her son Solomon, number three, don't squander your divine wisdom. Number three, don't squander your divine wisdom. Solomon needed to exercise justice in speaking for those who could not speak for themselves, in defending those who could not defend themselves. And in that God had endowed Solomon with great wisdom, Bathsheba urged her son to be an advocate for the vulnerable people, using his wisdom to judge righteously. Don't squander your divine wisdom. And then number four, the fourth point of counsel from this mom to her son is then found in verses 10 through 31. And would you know it, that this counsel reverts back to the subject of women. Now we know Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, as describing the virtuous woman. More specifically, a married woman with children, or a mom. And in these verses, Mother Bathsheba is telling Solomon, number four, do seek for a virtuous woman. Don't surrender your strength to women. Don't submit your control to alcohol. Don't squander your divine wisdom, but do seek for a virtuous woman in verses 10 through 31. Now, a moment ago, I asked you why Solomon might have used a pen name calling himself King Lemuel in verse number 1. Perhaps Solomon wanted to conceal his identity. I don't think so. I think Solomon used the pen name King Lemuel in verse number 1 to conceal his mother's identity. You see, the reader of Proverbs 31 might ask this question. What credibility does Bathsheba have in giving counsel to her son about a virtuous woman? After all, Bathsheba committed adultery with David. Bathsheba was part of King David's harem. Why should anyone listen to her? May I suggest this morning that I believe the grace of God so pervaded Bathsheba's life that she was able to give wise counsel to her son Solomon in spite of any failures in the past. You see, God forgives our sins. And God is a God who can use us in spite of our past. Even David, the man after God's own heart, wrote, "Remember not the sins of my youth." Psalm 103 then gives us the promise that God does in fact forgive all our iniquities, Psalm 103 verse 3, and does not punish us according to our sins, verse 10, but has removed them as far as the east is from the west, verse 12. For the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, verse 17. And I believe that such was the case for Mother Bathsheba, and such can be the reality for every mother here this morning. Perhaps there's a mother here this morning who has failed in some area of life. Perhaps every mother here this morning has failed in some area of life. But moms, that does not disqualify you from the all-important impact that you can have on your children or your grandchildren. In spite of the failures of your past, moms, you can have and should give wise counsel to your children. In Bathsheba's case, her fourth point of counsel to her son, perhaps the most important point of counsel, though Solomon neglected it, described the value of a virtuous wife and a model mother. And Bathsheba presented her counsel and packaged it in such a way that would help Solomon with retention and recitation. In fact, Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, is a Hebrew acrostic poem, meaning that each verse begins with a successive letter in the Hebrew alphabet, much like that in Psalm 119. It's a mnemonic device, a tool to aid in one's learning. And the utterance that Mother Bathsheba gave to her son Solomon was this: do seek for a virtuous woman. There are six characteristics of the virtuous woman or model mother that I'd like you to notice with me here in this proverb. First, letter A, her worth. Her worth. Look at verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. How do you know the worth of a woman? Is it her money? Is it her talent? Is it her beauty? Verse 11 answers that question. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. Men, if you can give your wife your heart and trust her with it, then she is a woman of worth. Men, if you can give your wife your credit card and trust her with it, then you are a man of great worth. A woman whose husband can trust her is worth far more than rubies. For that reason, I consider myself to be a rich man, because my heart trusts my wife, her worth. How about letter B, her hands? Her hands. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Jump to verse number 19. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, yet she reaches out her hands to the needy. Nowhere in the scriptures, neither in Kings nor Chronicles, do we find Solomon reaching out his hands to a needy person in all of Jerusalem. We know from 1 Chronicles 22 that King David left Solomon the equivalent of $25 billion of gold to be used in the building of the temple. We know from 2 Chronicles 1 that God promised Solomon not just wisdom, but riches such as no other king before or after him would have. Yet Solomon taxed the people. He built palaces for himself. He had gold everywhere. Read 2 Chronicles 9. It is obscene how rich Solomon was. He was rich. He was filthy rich because he failed to open his hands to the needy. When Solomon passed on, his son Rehoboam took the throne, and the people asked Rehoboam to lighten the load that his dad Solomon had placed upon them, but Rehoboam refused, and the kingdom split in two. Yet here in this description of a virtuous woman or a model mother, her hands minister to everyone else's need. In fact, if we were to keep reading verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet, speaking of the winter season when she had adequate clothing prepared to keep her family warm. Look at verse 24. She makes linen garments, sells them, supplies sashes for the merchants. She's industrious with her hands. Look at verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy with her hands. Her hands are always busy working and serving and giving. A man came home from work one day to find total mayhem in his house. His three children were outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the dirt with empty food boxes and wrappers strewn all around the front yard. The door to his wife's minivan was open, as was the door to the front house. Proceeding into the entry, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over and the throw rug was wadded up against one wall. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring. The family room was littered with toys and several items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spilled on the counter. Dog food was spilled on the floor. A broken glass lay under the table and a small pile of sand was spread by the back door. He quickly ran upstairs, stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife, worried that she was ill or something serious had happened to her. He discovered her in the bedroom, still curled up in bed, in her pajamas, reading a novel. There was a half-eaten bagel and two cups of coffee on the bedside stand. She looked up and asked how his day had gone. He looked at her bewildered and asked, "What happened here today?" She smiled and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work, you ask me what in the world I did all day? Well, today I didn't do it." There is no doubt, and may I go on record as saying, there is no doubt that a mother's work is never done. And her hands are busy from the first crack of dawn until the children are tucked into bed at night. Her hands are busy serving all the rest of us. That's a picture of the model mother. But it's not just her worth, whose husband can safely trust in her. Worth more than rubies. It's not just her hands that are busy, busy serving others. But what about, let her see, her tongue? Her tongue. Verse number 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Young people, you hear me clearly. There is great wisdom to be gained from the counsel of your mother. Listen closely to what she teaches you and the things that she says. If Solomon had only listened to the counsel of his mother in verses 1 through 9, he would have done well. Because her counsel to him was, don't surrender your strength to women, Solomon. Her counsel to him was, don't submit your control to alcohol, Solomon. And her counsel was, don't squander your divine wisdom, Solomon. If only Solomon had listened to the wisdom of his mother Bathsheba, her tongue. But what I notice here about the virtuous woman or the model mother is that she is very tender toward others with her tongue. Look at verse 26. The word law at the end of verse 26 is the Hebrew word Torah or Torah. And when we hear the word Torah, we normally think of the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But think of it this way. When she speaks, she has a governor on her lips, ruling what she says, and that is the law, the Torah, of kindness. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, often translated gentleness, described as merciful. And there is nothing more attractive about a woman or a mother than a gentle spirit, a merciful heart, and a tongue that is governed or controlled by, ruled by, kindness. Her tongue. Letter D, her children. Her children. Verse 28a, her children rise up and call her blessed. You see, folks, beyond the description of a virtuous woman, Proverbs 31 specifically describes the model mother. For this woman has children, and they bless her. Now, this begs the question, when do they bless her? Perhaps you're a mother here this morning, and you say, Pastor Matt, my children do not appreciate me for who I am or for what I've done for them. You might be here this morning and you say, Pastor Matt, my children are grown and gone and they have still not risen up and blessed me. Pastor Matt, isn't there an age of accountability for this? After all, at age 16 they can drive, at age 18 they can vote, at age 22 they got married. When will my children rise up and call me blessed? Perhaps that's a burden of your heart. Perhaps a son or a daughter that is wayward. Here's what I say to you, mothers. Be faithful. Be patient. Keep on keeping on, even as your children grow. And they express their will against you, and they disobey and complain and push against your boundaries and neglect your counsel. May the law of kindness, not compromise, but may the law of kindness govern what you say, and someday they will rise up and call you blessed. It's her children. Letter E, her husband. Her husband. Look at verse 28b and verse 29. Her husband also. And he praises her. Notice the colon at the end of verse 28. This is how her husband praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. There are many who have done well, but you have done the best. Husbands, affirm your wives. There are many women here this morning who are part of Fourth Baptist Church who might be admired for many, many things. And perhaps they have done very well in many ways. But if I may, my wife Kim is the best. She excels you all. And I praise her for that. Verse 30 and 31, charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. Can you believe this is Mother Bathsheba, who is instructing her son King Solomon regarding vanity? Look at it in verse 30. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing, young King Solomon. Is that not in essence what he wrote in Ecclesiastes? It's all vanity. Verse 30. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised, giver of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I might give you letter F, her fruit. Her fruit. A woman who fears the Lord and is faithful in her labor will reap the fruit of who she is and of what she has done. Proverbs 31 is the counsel of a mother to her son, presumably Mother Bathsheba, to a young King Solomon. King Solomon, in attempting to guard his mother's identity, used a pen name for himself, King Lemuel. Why? Because some, in their arrogance, would discredit Bathsheba as having no platform to give advice, no credibility in giving instruction. But alas, the grace of God so pervaded Bathsheba's life that the things that she had instructed Solomon were so right. And oh, if he would have but listened. Proverbs 31 is not just a model for womanhood, but even more specifically, a model for motherhood. And whether you are a man or a woman here this morning, we each have a mother. And may we be mindful of the things that she has taught us. And whether a man or a woman here this morning, may our lives reflect the characteristics that are here in Proverbs 31. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the practical teaching of Proverbs 31. And Father God, in spite of Bathsheba's past, in spite of perhaps some failures in her own life, Father God, your grace so pervaded her life that she could give good counsel. And Lord, I thank you that the case is true for every mother here this morning. No matter the regrets, no matter the weaknesses, God, you have ordained each mother to care for, to instruct, to guide, and to raise her children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And may these things also be part of each mother's counsel to their children. God, for those of us that are not mothers, perhaps not even women, may we be mindful of the insights that are here this morning. And Lord, may our lives reflect these things as well. I pray in Jesus' name.